Would it surprise you, Chris, to know that you are still young? Because relatively to me, everybody's young.
That's true. Thank you, Phil, for being so self-aware.
Songs will come. Songs will go. Many of them, people know. But those that you don't know is what we bring to the table. And today, we're going to try to do this without cracking up.
But we can't help it.
By the way, that's off the top of my head, Chris. I did not rewrite or pre-write that or anything. Welcome to the greatest song you never heard.
It's because you always start out with like this definitive statement. Songs will come. Pregnant pause. Songs will go. And then you rhymed it with their songs you wouldn't know. And I was like, what is this, a freaking nursery rhyme? Who are you, Dr. Seuss of podcast world?
By the way, welcome to the Greatest Song You Never Heard podcast and Comedy Hour with Phil and my good friend Chris Cochran, who is going to do his very best to bail this episode out.
I don't know if there's much that can be done to bail this episode out, except for the fact that I know that today's song will make up for all of our goofiness at the very beginning of this episode. How are you today, my friend, Mr. Anderson?
Doing very well. Doing well. I always enjoy the episodes where you, Chris, bring a song to the table.
Well, I enjoy the episodes where you, Phil, bring a song to the table.
Good. That's stroking each other. That's perfect. By the way, have you sent me the lyrics to this upcoming song?
I did. I did write one when you hit record. I sent it to you so that you couldn't peek in advance.
Look at you. Okay. Well, I have them. I will copy and paste them into my little Apple notepad here in a second. But I want to ask you something before we go much further. I want to know, because there are going to be songs that we have on this podcast that would be considered, well, maybe not even one-hit wonders, because there are songs from bands that maybe people don't even know the band or the artist. Correct. Thus, they probably don't know the song. But talking about one-hit wonders, I looked at this on YouTube. They had 100 one-hit wonders, or the top 100 one-hit wonder songs. Yes. And I was confused. First of all, have you heard of a band called Chugagoogoo?
Kajagoogoo, yes.
Yeah, Kajagoogoo. Okay, so they're from the 80s, and I was thinking, Chris probably knows that.
Yep.
So they had one of their songs.
Sha-da-sha, hush-hush, I-do-I.
That was their hit. Their one hit, okay? They also had some from this, I don't know, I've never heard of this guy, MC Hammer. You can't touch this.
You've never heard of MC Hammer?
Yes, I have. I've also heard of the song, which is great, but he's got other hits.
True.
Now, maybe not many, but...
He went through a time where he got like some pretty decent like hits.
It's kind of like Sir Mix-a-Lot, right?
He would be considered a one-hit wonder as well.
Anthony is his name, by the way.
Oh. Did you ever drive for him when you were a valet?
I did. No, we just let him park up front, but which is fine. But there was a bunch of bike riders in Seattle at the time, and one of them clipped his rearview mirror on the side panel on a passenger door. And I'm like, dude, you just, and he just like flipped me the bird and kept riding. And Anthony said, no worries. Okay. Wow. I mean, these are very nice Mercedes, but it's funny because I said, welcome, sir. Oh, can I call you by your real name? And he said, yeah, Anthony. I'm like, thanks so much. Because it's call him sir, and it's, you know, Sir Mix-a-Lot. Anyway,
right.
That's not why I brought that up, though. Well, it is. Because there were songs on here that had artists that were more than one hit, and yet they're calling them one hit wonder. And so
that might have to do with how they charted and when they charted and those kind of things.
Interesting.
Like, I'll give you an example. MC Hammer is a good example because
he had two number one hits.
He had two number one hits. Can't Touch This. And do you know what the other one is?
Yeah, I do.
Pray is a song. You got to make it today.
Yeah, I know the song. I can't think of it. Song, yeah.
He also did a song called Pumps and a Bump, which, interestingly enough, when I first moved to Spokane in the mid-90s, there was this weird like MTV ripoff channel called The Box. And The Box's format is one of the most fascinating. In fact, today it would work better than ever. Well, maybe not. So this is the premise of the show. The Box only played music that people paid for. So if you wanted to hear a song from an artist, you could get on a phone and call them up and like tell them what you wanted to hear. Either, I don't know, it was your voice or like through a menu or whatever, but you would tell them what you wanted to hear. And for like 99 cents or whatever it was, they would play that, put it in the queue, and you'd get that video next. And so what would end up happening is any of the videos that were either like slightly inappropriate or something, like a bunch of these like junior high kids would be sitting home in their mom's basements and get that same song played like over and over. And Pumps in a Bump was one of them, because he's running around in like a Speedo, almost like a thong. And there's like a lot of half naked women. And so like Put Him on the Glass from Sir Mix-a-Lot was the other one, because the whole thing is filmed like with women washing cars in a car wash. And so Put Him on the Glass and Pumps in a Bump would play back to back over and over and over and over. And so we ended up, my brother-in-laws and I, we were all young at the time. We would just sit and watch The Box in the evenings and laugh hysterically at all these videos over and over.
Would it surprise you, Chris, to know that you are still young? Because relatively to me, everybody's young.
That's true. Thank you, Phil, for being so self-aware.
You're welcome. And before we get to your setup, I wanted to say, Shelly and I were given some news recently.
Are you going to have a baby?
No.
Oh.
That would not be the best thing in the world. Shelly and I were the recipients of our Rotary on the Rocks Rotarians of the Year.
What? Get out of town.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It really does help to pay off the right people. Which is funny because they gave us the award and both Shelly and I are like, we didn't know. There was no voting. And they're like, yeah, there was. You just weren't involved.
Oh. Congratulations, Mr. Rotarian of the Year. Yeah. Whenever I hear Rotarian, I feel like you should be spinning around in circles.
Well, that song from last week, I was almost spinning around in circles because it was it was a earthquake of sound and tempo and percussion. With that said, true. Chris, let's get a setup for this episode song.
This is one of those songs that, like you last week, I can't tell you where I first heard this song. However, I remember it came up, I think it was like a new music playlist on Apple Music or one of those. And it's one of those few times where, have you ever had a time where the algorithm sends you a song and you're like, eh? But the other times they send you a song and like, they know me so well. This is one of those they know me so well songs. And I'm not going to share much more about it than that, other than to say that we have a lot of like learning on Phil's part to do when it comes to this song and some of the technicalities behind this song. So with that, I will say, Mr. Anderson, why don't you hit it?
Your love.
pointing at me for some reason. Not sure why.
I wanted to know the song was over.
Oh, good. The fact that the volume faded out was an indication. Yeah. You know, it's interesting, though. Last week, we talked about the fade out. Not a big fan. But there are songs when I believe are written and recorded well and with intention, you already kind of know as the listener when it's about to end.
Yeah.
Now, with exception, there are those songs that they hook you in with that. Mm-hmm. And then they kick you up the side of the head. We're not done yet.
Yes.
This was
or other ones where they just like stop in the middle of the song and you're like, wait, that was it?
Yeah, in the middle of the verse. What? Yeah, the guy tripped over the cord and the whole recording session stopped. By the way, Billy Joel's song Pressure, that's exactly what happened. Someone tripped a chord. There's a part.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where everything goes out and then they go, Pressure. That was then. Anyway.
Fascinating. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'm guessing this is a artist from the same country Sinead O'Connor comes from. And the name is Couldn't Leave You If I Tried, with the you being you, not Y-O-U.
Well, it is, the song is called Couldn't Leave You If I Tried. The artist is not from the same country as Sinead O'Connor.
I know this artist. I swear I do.
I'm willing to bet you don't.
Okay.
Let's start with this. What year do you think this song was released?
Oh, I'm going to go probably the 80s. I'm thinking the 80s, early 80s, somewhere there. And I'm also going to say this song leaned on the cliche rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
Bright.
Yes.
Light. Night. It happens. Sometimes you just have to.
Yep.
But I really liked the bridge, but it was so short. They went into that bridge and then it's like, boom, they're out of it again. So that was pretty cool.
Yep.
Took me on a journey. I like the song. I feel like I should know who it is. I'm going early 80s.
All right. So this song is actually from a little later than the early 80s. In fact, it's from 2022.
Oh, it is a little earlier than 42 years later than the early 80s.
Yeah. 2022. And it's from an album called Guv 3. And it's from an artist called Young Guv. Like as in Young Govna. Young Gov is the name of the artist. Young Gov is a gentleman by the name of Brian Cook, who's a songwriter. And in 2018, he moved from his hometown of Toronto to Brooklyn, New York, and began writing songs. And some people feel like the songs he's been writing since he moved to Brooklyn are the best songs of his career. Later in 2018, he released Gov 1. All of his albums are Gov 1, Gov 2, Gov 3, Gov 4. And this is from the album Gov 3, which was released in 2022. And if I were to ask you, I'll tell you about how he wrote this song in a second because you'll find it fascinating. But if I were to ask you what style of music you would say this is, outside of just rock and roll, like more specifically, what would you say?
Well, I'm not like in terms of genre and stuff like that, but I hear Beatles in this myself, okay? The way it was recorded. And really the style of the song, I felt that this could be, George singing this. It sounded like it could be George singing. I don't know. That just,
how would you describe the guitars in this?
Oh, that's a good question. Can we play it again? I wasn't concentrating on that. By the way, I don't absolutely concentrate on every aspect unless something jumps out at me. I'm listening to the overall aspect of it. So the guitars didn't jump out at me.
So this is a style of music film. I told you that you were going to learn something today. This is a style of music called jangle.
With a G or a J?
J. Also known as jangle pop in some circles. And jangle was actually made popular. When I tell you this, you'll be like, oh, this makes total sense. Jangle was actually originally created by the Everly Brothers and the Searchers. So if you think of the song All I Have to Do is Dream, you can hear that same kind of a flavor in this song. Needles and Pins. Needles and Pins. You know that song?
Yeah, yeah.
Same kind of a feeling to that. And the Birds actually took that and ran with it. And
to
made
everything.
It more popular.
So, turn.
Turn, turn, turn. Turn yeah. Mr. Tambourine Man. That whole jangly pop sound. And the guitars are the leading sound to jangle pop. But it's also these big flowing melodies that like pop, hardcore pop melodies that make up jangle. And it's interesting because typically jangle pop evolved to be mostly electric 12-string guitars, which is why you hear these big, like, big, that's why it sounds jangly, is because you have this high string and a low string playing at the same time. What's interesting is when the Birds started doing this, they didn't actually use 12 strings. They would just use two guitars playing the same part and add a crap load of reverb to it. Right. And everybody thought they were using 12 strings. And so they copied them using 12 strings, thinking that's what they were doing, but they really weren't.
I hate reverb.
So Young Gov, actually, Ben Cook, gets signed to open on a nationwide tour with another band, and the other band doesn't matter. And on in the middle of this tour, he was as far away from as he was going to be from Brooklyn on this tour. He was in New Mexico, and White Reaper was the name of the band he was opening for. And he gets to New Mexico, and 2020, the pandemic hits, and he had planned on being gone for like a year. So he subleased his condo in Brooklyn, and him and his band get stuck in New Mexico, and he has for 9 months.
Yeah.
His band is stuck in New Mexico. So he just starts writing music. And Gov 1 and some of the songs from Gov 2 came out of that time. And this song was one of the songs that he wrote during that time, stuck in what's called an earthship structure.
Okay.
Have you heard of an earthship
no.
structure? I'm going to send you a link. I had never heard of this either. And it's a thing. Is there a, oh, I can do it right here. In why won't it let me? Oh, well, let me do that. I'll just text it to you. An earthship structure is everything that you would think an earthship. When I send you the link and you look at it, you'll see. And I would encourage our listeners to look up an earthship structure. It's basically like if you were building a habitation on another planet and wanted to make a place on Earth look like you're building a habitation on another planet, that's an earthship structure.
Wow.
So they were stuck in this earthship structure for 9 months, and this is one of the songs that got written. Couldn't Leave You If I Tried, from the album Gov 3 from 2022 on Run for Cover Records, from our good friend Young Gov, better known as Ben Cook.
By the way, for those who struggle with articulation and enunciation, earthship structure is a good one to say over and over again.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Earthship structure.
Yeah, because look, that'll get your tongue ready to go. Oh, Chris just sent me a text.
Yeah, with your earthship structure.
Earthship. Now, there we go.
Easy for you to say.
Earthship structure. I got it right the first time. Chris, that's your
yes.
name. Chris.
Yes, it is.
Very, very fun song. I did learn a lot. I still can't. It's hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that this is a 2022 recording.
I know. In fact, it's really interesting. When you go back and listen to this again, listen to the way that I can typically pick out the era of a song is the production on the drums, because drum production has changed so dramatically from the 60s to the 70s to the 80s to the 90s to the 2000s. You can typically figure out based on how much reverb is on them, if they've detuned the drums. And by detuning, I mean like, if you think of Something from the Beatles at the beginning, you have
yeah.
doop-a-doop-boop, but it's that boop, 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 boop. It's not like a typical
yeah.
like, drum fill. The kind of snare they use, how tight that snare is. There's something called a gated reverb, where if you ever want to like do a deep dive,
yeah.
There's a bunch of videos on gated reverb, which are fascinating. That's the 80s sound. And this one uses all of the like period specific production techniques to mask the fact that it's a 2022 song.
I really enjoyed it. By the way, this is also a great example of when you get thrown a curveball that you have no control over, zero control, and pivoting in a positive way. I think everybody can learn
absolutely
from that, because there were so many people during that time that just, oh my God, the world is, the sky is falling, the world is ending. What are we going to do now? Panic. I can't do this and this. Well, this person says, oh, that kind of sucks. I don't have a place to live. So we we'll find a place and start writing music and writing their ass off. When you get into a rhythm like that, it's really very cool.
I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah.
I have to agree with that. Well, would you say this is one of the greatest songs you've never heard?
I'd say this is not only one of the greatest songs I've never heard, but one of the top five greatest songs I've never heard this month.
Wow.
Yes.
This month. You got me all excited. Like, that's something good. And now I feel like, mediocre.
No, it is one of the greatest songs I've never heard, but I've heard it now and I'm glad I did. By the way, a reminder to everyone, feel free to go on to Spotify and look for the Greatest Song You Never Heard playlist, not the podcast, but the playlist. About 90%, if not more, of the songs that we've played are in that playlist, pretty much in order, and you can listen to them till your little heart's content. Skip over the one or two that you don't like out of the 96 or 97 songs that we've already recorded. Then just start doing some deep dives into the artists that of the songs that you do like, and you'll probably find some treasures you would have never found before. That's what I do, by the way. That's what I do.
That's what I do too. Yeah, that's what I do too. And I always give an album that's, I figure like if somebody releases an album, they had a thought behind what they wanted me to experience. So I'll always listen to the whole album before I make a judgment. And sometimes there's only one song on an album you like, but you still got the whole like picture. It'd be like saying, well, I only want to look at the blue painting.
Yeah.
Well, you want to look at all the paintings from an artist.
And it's unfair. And like going to the wine world, someone will say, I hate Chardonnay. Like, well, you probably haven't had the right Chardonnay. Okay.
Yes.
So unless those people just like sweet wines and, you know, there you go.
Phil taught me a valuable lesson with rosés, because I grew up not liking rosés for some very personal reasons. And then Phil introduced me to some rosés that were actually didn't emasculate me and were actually pretty tasty.
I believe we had a rosé actually when you and Heidi were on as guests of the Wine Time Fridays podcast. Did we not have a rosé from Steve?
You did, and I think you did that on purpose. No. It's because Steve's rosé was the first one I ever had that I was like, this is a good wine.
Yeah. If you get a nice one, dry and all that, strawberry, it's great.
What are you doing to that dog?
Hang on. I'll have to take this out. Someone's at my front door. Hold on.
And for those listening in the background, wondering what's going on, I think Phil is actually strangling that dog a little bit. He says he loves that dog. And I know he likes it a lot. I've seen him kiss it on the lips. But I'm not quite sure if he really loves that dog or if he tolerates that dog. And I, by the way, Lucy is an awesome dog. I personally think she's amazing. Phil might like Lucy a little too much. But who knows? I can't wait till Phil finds all of this later.
That's enough.
And listens back to my diatribe.
Go outside and bark amongst the neighbors. Amazon.
Did you say bark amongst the neighbors?
Yes.
The neighbors are barking too?
The neighbor's dog, always.
Oh. Gotcha.
So all of that will be taken out. And had we wrapped it up, I didn't even need to answer the door. I thought,
yes,
it could have been some wine. I didn't know, but it was just Amazon stuff. Okay. So if you have any comments about any of what you've heard about today, or I don't care, any other time, drop us a line, drop us a note, make a comment. Yeah, that's up to you. I did not suggest you do that, but you may on Facebook, on Twitter, as a comment on our website, thegreatestsongyouneverheard.com. Chris, do you have anything to add that will put a bow on this episode?
Phil, I feel like our good friend Ben Cook, because when it comes to this podcast, I couldn't leave you if I tried.
Great. That's fantastic. You know, I asked Shelly that at the end of some of our episodes. Shelly, you want to add anything before? She's like, no, why do you ask me that?
No, I got to be ready. I got to have something for you.
I know. I feel like I'm working with a little quicker sometimes. Mm. But we all have our highs and lows. And with that, we're going to wrap this up today, this week. And thank you for joining us. And we will see you next time on the Greatest Song You Never Heard podcast.